All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Harrison Price for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. We're coming to you from the GoGoat Sports Studio, built by Arbor Lee, here at the iconic Wall Center, downtown Vancouver. If you are going to a game or heading to any event downtown, make it a staycation. Call the Wall, 604-331-1000. Ask for the Harrison Price rate. Some blackout date supply. Matt Harrison alongside Blake Price. Grady Sass, hitting switches, conducting things. We've got a big show planned for you, and it's all a presentation of Applewood Auto Group.
Applewood Infinity in Richmond's got the QX50 and the QX55s from 2023 on a smashing deal. Right, smashing deal. Lease it for 1.99% up to 33 months, plus you get $1,500 in bonus cash right now. Applewood Infinity, the Richmond Auto Mall. It's all good at Applewood.
Tim Horton's poll question today: should Canucks fans be happy just making the playoffs? Yes or no? You can vote at Harrison Price on Twitter and YouTube. Roll Up to Win is here for Tim's 60th anniversary. You can play on the Tim's app to win prizes. Daily cash jackpot of $10,000. You can win the all-electric Volkswagen ID4 and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app. Roll Up is on until March 31st. Just a administrative note from us today. We have a little bit of construction going on in and around the Wall Center. So if you hear some drilling, banging, pounding, disassembling, you know, the construction noise.
And no, that's not me in the producer's booth here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rumbling normally is coming from that booth. And he's been known to shake the earth, folks.
Yeah, there we go.
Yard sale.
I voted no on the poll question. I voted no on the poll question because I do think expectations needed to change at some point during this magnificent season for the Vancouver Canucks. I know at the beginning of the year we could all say, hey, happy just making the playoffs. Everyone's just hoping they sneak in. But when you're first place, as long as you've been first place, and when you've made moves the likes of Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, I do think you need to reset expectations. I think it would be a crying shame if our return of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in 9 years in this city lasted only the one round. So absolute bare minimum for me is win a round. You can consider the rest gravy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this team has pedigree, so I understand why people are saying, hey, slow the roll. No, when you not only lead the division, when you not only lead the conference, when you lead the league for much of the season, you are just going to raise expectations. You're going to move that bar up. And now, I think it's pretty reasonable to say, hey, if you're able to do that, you should be able to take care of your first round opponent. It's not going to be easy.
No.
But I think it's a reasonable level of expectation.
Yeah, I think so as well. And particularly since, it could still be Vegas.
For sure.
But my sense is it's going to be L.A., maybe Nashville. We've talked about it before. I think L.A. is infinitely beatable, so long as you don't get lulled into that horrible trap that they play. And Nashville has some injury issues now. Huh? Jeremy Lauzon has gone down. He's week to week. They have the great goaltender, but much like L.A., not exactly a potent team, the Nashville Predators. So, you know, if you go into a series and you're not necessarily terrified by a team's ability to score goals and or their goaltender, that should be winnable for a team like the Canucks that has the superstar at every level, right? It has the forward group, or at least do when Elias Pettersson is playing his best hockey, but JT Miller's there as well. You have the superstar defenseman in Quinn Hughes. You have the superstar goaltender in Thatcher Demko. Many different routes, many different formulas the Canucks can use to win playoff series. So I'd like to think that they get the first one. Any team that makes it to the conference final, unless you're a recent Stanley Cup champion or finalist, that is a successful season if you make it to the Final Four in this now 32-team league. So if they were to win a second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, then you're absolutely playing with house money from there.
Regarding the simple act of making the playoffs, however, I can tell you the Canucks' magic number is 6 wins, 12 points, whichever you prefer. And I bring that up only because it is a very busy night in the National Hockey League with 13 games. So a lot of chance for movement there. It could be a big swing night if the Oilers lose, the Canucks win, all sorts of stuff around the bottom of the bar, too. This is a fun night in the NHL.
Yeah, scoreboard watching is great now. And, like, just Saturday's opponent, the Washington Capitals, they win again. They've won 3 in a row now and find themselves above the playoff bar at the expense of the Detroit Red Wings and New York Islanders in the East. And, hey, like, the Buffalo Sabres, Tuesday's opponent for the Vancouver Canucks, they're playing better hockey these days as well. They're +3 goal differential now.
Yep.
When you take a look at the depths from which they came now, they win in Seattle on Monday night. As J-Pat notes, they have not swept any back-to-back series this year, Buffalo, expecting Devin
Levi,
yes, to be the goaltender for the Sabres on the second of a back-to-back. We found out this morning, Tuesday morning, that Dakota Joshua is progressing, but the Canucks are being cautious with him. He will miss a 15th consecutive game for Vancouver. Has not played since that fight in the dying moments against Mackenzie Entwistle and the Chicago Blackhawks. 6-6-2 without Dakota Joshua. A chance to get above .500. And really a Canucks team that has just been okay since the All-Star break. Couple of games above .500. You mentioned the playoff bar, Blake, and I can tell you three teams have been eliminated in the West: San Jose, Chicago, and Anaheim on the outside looking in. And you have to eliminate, five more teams? Do I have that right? Or four more teams? 1, 2, 3, 4. Five more teams have to be eliminated before the Vancouver Canucks can secure their ticket and punch their berth for the first time in 9 years in this city, and of course the first time since the expanded bubble playoffs of 2020.
Regarding Joshua, Joshua has to be Joshua when he comes back. So if he heads on the ice in any of these moments, and he is skating right now, folks, because he can. It's just hand injury. I'm sure every once in a while they ask him to take a shot and see how it feels. If he's feeling any tenderness, it's just not worth it. Dakota Joshua has to come back and be Dakota Joshua. And that's not meaning fight. It just means he's going to have to be along the boards, hand up against the boards, receiving hits and that sort of thing. I mean, bring him back when he's ready to be Dakota Joshua. If that means 2 more weeks of healing to make sure that when he takes a shot, when he's having to withstand contact along the boards, that he's not going to refracture. I'm assuming it was a fracture. Then you take those 2 weeks, because right now 500 is probably going to do it for the Canucks. That will probably get them the division, and maybe even the conference. Probably not the conference, but I think it gets them the division if they merely play 500. So if they can play just a little bit better than they have been, get Thatcher Demko back maybe in a couple of weeks' time, I think they're going to be okay without Dakota Joshua.
Nils Amon returns to the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks against Buffalo. He replaces Phil DiGiuseppe. He has not played since February 22nd, the loss at Seattle. So a little bit of a change-up after the Canucks lose a couple in a row here, including in regulation, as mentioned, to the Washington Capitals on Saturday. They got Montreal Thursday, Calgary Saturday. These are the last two games, Buffalo and Montreal, against Eastern Conference opponents. It is Western Conference after that throughout, and a lot of divisional play as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a time to make some hay. There's some desperation, certainly from Buffalo, maybe from Calgary, but probably not by the time Saturday rolls along. But, I mean, Calgary will still bring an A game for the Canucks each and every time out. So it's not like you're going to get pushback this week from the Vancouver Canucks, but it would be nice for them to look at three teams below the bar and just say, okay, these are our games to have. Let's go out and get them. You know, you don't have to worry about Colorado coming through here over the next 7 days.
Pointless and two straight for Elias Pettersson. Three pointless games of the six so far in the month of March. Musing moment at practice on Monday where he's asked, when you're at your best, you're moving your feet and attacking the line. Do you sometimes need a reminder of that? We know he's got the dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
PD deadpans, I think I just got one.
Yeah, I missed that one. That's good.
Actually found myself on Expo Boulevard yesterday beside and behind Elias Pettersson his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The general manager's meetings are going on in Florida right now. Patrick Helvin in attendance, and he did an interview with Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic. It dropped Monday. I want to get to a few of the things that he said here, Blake. One of the interesting quotes that's making the rounds. On re-signing his UFAs, Alvin, quote, at this point we probably wait until after the season, unless they come in and they're begging to sign a really team-friendly deal.
So they have to come to them.
Well, you know, not many players come in begging to sign a team-friendly
deal. At this time of year, no.
Deal, but you do wonder whether Tyler Myers wants some certainty, wants the comfort of knowing that he can stay. As we've talked about before, there are specific family reasons why Tyler Myers would wants to be here in British Columbia. Of course,
off-season home here, yeah.
Off-season home here, on top of medical care and the like. So you do wonder whether that might be the easiest deal to get done. We have covered it in the past, but there are some trickier negotiations. I mean, we'll see what Joshua looks like when he gets back, but needless to say, he has had an exemplary season and could probably hit the open market and make a fair buck. Our buddy Tony Gallagher last week, strong quote, how could you look at that body and that's the way that guy skates and give up on that guy? For, of course, Maple Leafs draft pick. Was in the St. Louis organization, so he might be a more difficult one. Elias Lindholm, I think the die is cast there. If you're going to slot him as the third line center, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking to play in a top two more scoring role with some better wingers. So I would be awfully surprised, particularly after getting Pettersson redone, if Elias Lindholm
have to be a storybook playoff chapter written
something
that
like that
maybe compels him to want to return, right. But something it's like long that. odds.
Where are you on Sam Lafferty, who for the most part has had a pretty good season here with the Canucks? I know he's gone a little quiet here, as have many of the Canucks since the All-Star break. In fact, no points this month for Sam Lafferty. He hasn't scored since that aforementioned game in Seattle on the 22nd of February. That was the only point he had in February as well. So it's been a struggle for Lafferty after opening the season as well as he did with the Canucks. But, of course, down and further down the lineup, where are you on a Lafferty extension, if at all?
I would offer him an extension, but I wouldn't offer him a penny more than he's making. In fact, I think I might almost be compelled at the age of 29.
$1.15 million.
He's 29. He just turned 29. So he's playing next season almost entirely as a 29-year-old. I would be tempted to offer him a multi-year deal at the same price a million per even. You want to, you know,
and
like
sometimes those fourth liners, those bottom six forwards, they don't want to just be on the year to year and have to, you know, deal with the uncertainty, not to mention moving and whatnot. They so sometimes they are inclined to sign a multi-year deal. And he's much more than a fourth liner, as it turns out. But of course, the classic example there is lower mainlander Colton Sissons, who signed the extended deal. You remember this, Blake?
Yes.
The extended deal with the Nashville Predators. We always talked about how Sissons' contract was unlike any contract in the NHL. 2.857 and change, but was it a seven-year deal? I think it was a seven-year deal. Yeah, a seven-year deal he signed in 2019. You know, getting himself some certainty with that.
There is a new one. Pierre Engvall also got a seven-year, $3 million
a year.
That
was the Islanders.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Bluger, I suspect, is going to get a raise from his $1.9 million, playing more than 15 minutes a night with 24 points in 54 games. I mean, Patrick Helvin has talked about how, look, this is a place where you can develop and progress in your career. I think Teddy Bluger is proof positive of that, was Vegas's fifth center last year and took a more forward role with the Canucks and has done well.
Going against him, though, is Father Time. He's 30 in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what team, I mean, again, Jim Benning, notwithstanding, he's not in the league. You know, what team is offering a 30-year-old, like a four-year deal? Like, I don't think there's many.
No. Well, I have AFP's analytics projections pulled up right now. They got him at 2 years at $2.55 million.
Yeah. Well, that seems
somewhere
reasonable.
In there. Cole, I think everything is reliant on how he looks down the stretch and through the playoffs. That's a 35-year-old who has logged a fair amount of minutes this year for the Canucks. We talked about Myers. Zadorov may well be too expensive, a right-shot guy with size and a mean streak. And then there's Casey DeSmith. And Patrick mused to Pierre LeBrun about whether or not Casey DeSmith will be back next year. Put it this way. In fact, let's get to that quote now, because they were talking about Demko's workload. And Alvin said, quote, "I think this," meaning a goalie plan, "is something that we continue to manage." So it sounds like he isn't 100% thrilled with everything that's happened with the goaltender allotment this year. Continue to manage, a plan that continues to manage. Look, you want to get the backup as many games as possible and keep the starter fresh. The fact of the matter is, with Alain Vigneault ringing in our ears, who's the guy who gives you the best chance to win? Well, night after night, it seems to be Thatcher Demko. We'll see if he's back and back on form when he returns from his injury.
As a coach, you can always make an excuse as to why you need to start the starter, right?
Yeah. Oh,
if you're not playing
course,
well, we need a starter to get us wins.
Exactly.
If you're playing well, well, we got to keep on
keeping on.
And
exactly.
Then if you're, we're on top, we don't want to slide. Right. You know, you can always find a reason why he needs to be in.
Tough opponent tonight. Yes. Got to play our horse. He gives us the best chance to win. So there's always that. On Lindholm, Alvin, quote, "Initially, when we made the deal, I talked to his camp and said our intention was to sign him, but obviously it's got to work for both sides. We'll see. I think it's been a little bit of an adjustment time for him, and in fairness, the whole team hasn't played great." And that is fair. The whole team hasn't played great. If Lindholm had one great game before the playoffs, is that enough for you, or do you need to see it over?
No, I think people have seen that one great game. His opener.
Yeah, they've seen a couple of
great
games from
Lindholm. I think what they want is consistency and predictability and a chance to see that he drives some play with the guys that he's been given. But, you know, it's just a lot to ask. This team had three lines when the Bluger line was going. And it's why I think that when Joshua does return for those final 2 weeks of the season, I'll assume he's back April 1st. Final 2 weeks of the season, you reassemble the Bluger line, and then you squeeze everybody else into it. And then you're a three-line team. And the fourth line is going to be, you know, Amon, Lafferty, and whomever. And they're going to get 7 minutes in the playoffs. And maybe you practice that down the stretch as well. And that's okay. Good teams look like that. Good teams don't give their fourth line a lot of time come the playoffs, because you know you're done trying to prepare yourself for the marathon. The marathon's over. You're past the finish line at that point. This is the bonus time. So I'm okay with this team being a three-line team in the playoffs. And that means that Lindholm's playing up with the big boys.
Yeah. He played a Canuck low 13.54 against Washington. In fact, two of his last three games have featured two of the three lowest ice times he has seen as a Canuck. 13.54 against Washington. He played 14.29 in the 5-0 win against Winnipeg. Previously, the low had been 14 minutes 11 seconds in his second game with the Canucks against the Boston Bruins. But in the first month that he was here, you remember he came over after the All-Star break, so he had pretty much the entire month of February here. He played five different nights of 20-plus minutes. He has not cracked 20 minutes in six games in March. In fact, he hasn't come close. 18-23 against Colorado in an overtime game. But everything else is in the 13, 14, 15-minute range for Elias Lindholm. So very much being used as a third-line player with some special teams utility right now. And you can understand why, you know, the extension talks would be entirely on hold with that sort of deployment.
Yeah, I don't know that they are themselves that enamored with an extension. I mean, they're going to need to see something from the player before they have any interest in an extension. And so I think both sides have got each other at arm's length right now. And that doesn't mean that there's any boiling over on the ice. I don't think this is why Elias Lindholm is not playing well. There's off-ice stuff. There's on-ice stuff. And on-ice, I think it's all copacetic with him and Rick Tocchet. I would love to know. Give him the truth serum. Is Lindholm wanting to play with Pettersson? Or is he wanting to be the man down the middle for sure?
I think the sweet spot might be
down the middle with Pettersson. Yes.
Plays the wing.
Yeah.
And Tocchet has called him a center. And for the most part, deployed him as a center.
It was a great thought. That was what they wanted it to be. But
the other thing that was interesting from Melvin's messaging, and I've got a welcome mat coming up on this, so I'll give you your shout at it here right now. He told LeBrun, quote, a lot of guys haven't played in the playoffs, and then circled back later in the conversation and said, we've got guys who haven't played important games in March. I've interpreted that as a little bit of managing expectations for the Stanley Cup playoffs, that if this young group that doesn't have the most playoff experience were to fall flat, that they could chalk it up to one of his favorite words, process, right?
Yeah.
That this is part of the process. I think that also might be tinged or influenced by the fact they didn't get that winger they needed by the trade deadline. I still sort of sense a general sort of malaise around Alvin. I think it was evident that Friday when he talked at the press conference, the trade deadline of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been the same in some of his comments that we have seen since. I still generally get the sense that he's frustrated, maybe even kicking himself a little bit about not getting another winger or not having the goods or the wherewithal, as he's explained a couple times, to get a winger. But do you anticipate we'll hear some of that managing expectations, you know, under promise, over deliver, as the Canucks make their way back to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in 4 years and 9 years here in town?
I think he's just suggesting that if they don't look fabulous right now, there's a reason for it. But and we've talked about this before, that some teams, you too dumb to know better, works sometimes. Yeah. The Carolina Hurricanes are a great example of that. The Winnipeg Jets not too many years ago. It's sometimes ignorance is bliss there, and you just play like nothing matters, and that's good enough to make it work too. So I'm of many minds of it. Then there's other teams that, you know, remember the original core of the Avalanche with Nathan MacKinnon, made the playoffs that first year, went to seven games at the Wild, didn't go to the playoffs for three more years after that.
Oh, Edmonton 2 years after their first.
Right. Yeah. So you got that baptism, and then you couldn't figure it out again. So,
exactly.
Like, there's no tried and true way of how this works. If there was, every team would do it. But
you do typically have to take some lumps, right? Like, for example, the young Hawks team, Blackhawks team with Taves and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, they made it to the conference final in their first year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Got sort of slapped aside by Detroit, who at the time was a league power.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed. That was game on from that point forward. And, of course, we saw that against the Vancouver Canucks three straight postseasons. One thing we do know is that Jonathan Lakrimaki will not be riding into town on a white horse to save the day.
Nor did I think anybody expect that.
No, but, I mean, you know, a goal-scoring winger having the season he's having, I think some were daring to dream that he might be a tonic for what ails the Canucks on the flanks. The Swedish national team, Alvin Aleud, reached out to the Vancouver Canucks and expressed that they would like to have him on their team for the World Championships in Prague and Ostrava, Czech Republic. So it sounds like Lakrimaki is going to head there to the Trey Kroners as opposed to coming to Abbotsford, as the Canucks had initially hoped.
And
his season's over now?
Season's over. There's pluses to both. Like, I don't know that one is a terrible letdown. He's going to play against National Hockey League players in the World Championships. Granted, in a slightly different kind of game, because some of that will be on slightly bigger ice and that sort of thing. And it's just a different style of game than you'd see in the National Hockey League or in the American Hockey League. But it's still a step up. Like, it's still a good experience for Jonathan Lakrimaki. And I think that, you know, it's not a terrible developmental step that's being missed by having him play a couple of AHL games this season. Again, it would only be a handful at best because he's not eligible for the AHL playoffs. So I don't think that's a bad thing. By all accounts, the camp for that Swedish team might start sometime this week, I believe. And they keep sort of a barnstorming group together until everybody's available for the World Championship main camp, you know, in the middle, late part of April. So he's going to be on the ice still. No steps backward for Lakrimaki, and Canucks fans can look forward to him in September.
Yeah. The general managers, as mentioned, meeting in Florida. A number of rule changes have come to fruition. Now, none of these are confirmed yet. They do have to go through a process of the competition committee and board of governors, but let's just bullet list them. They want to add goaltenders to the list of players who can get a penalty for intentionally dislodging the net.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there already was a penalty that applied to goaltenders for that. If the goaltender turns around and knocks the net off, it's more.
Yeah, I was surprised that was.
I thought that was already.
So did I.
A penalty.
Yeah.
On faceoffs after icing, right now the defensive zone center gets a warning. The offensive center gets tossed. They're talking about giving a warning to the offensive center.
Like, it's equitable, yes.
Well, but it delays proceeding. Why not no warning? Remember the hurry-up face-off? Remember
yeah.
when that was the thing?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's still faster than it used to be, but anyways.
I'm taking issue with that goalie one.
With the one we were just about to mention about concussions, you mean?
No, the one before you mentioned. Because it's up to the arena to seal the pegs with the post, the arena staff there. So, you know, in my conspiracy tinfoil world, I'm thinking, well, what if they kind of make the pegs a little weaker before? Goalies rely so much on post play, pushing in and out of
yes.
it now to recover. Could we see a weaker kind of peg to the ice, you know, first intermission?
I think
before
it has to
game?
Be pretty outright.
Yeah.
And
full on.
Yeah.
Intentional.
Yeah. Malicious.
But that's where it could become subjective with certain referees.
Two other goalie ones, though. If a goalie's pulled by a concussion spotter, the replacement gets a warm-up, which stands to reason, as long as that's not 5 minutes.
Again, I thought that was already a thing.
No, it hasn't been.
It's sharp enough. It doesn't
happen. How often does a goalie get pulled by the concussion
spotter? Once or twice a season, yeah. The other one is if a goalie loses his mask and plays blown dead, the other team gets the offensive zone draw with a choice of the dot,
mm-hmm.
no matter where the puck was on the ice when when the whistle is blown. Mm-hmm. And then these are the bigger ones. Coaches challenges for puck over glass. They can ask for a video review to prove it did hit something on the way over. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. If you're wrong on this challenge,
yeah,
it's 5-on-3.
That's right.
So it is a place you have to go very gingerly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the original penalty's there and the additional. So that is a heck of a risk. And then minor penalty for high sticks can be challenged now to show it was a teammate stick. But again, same rule applies. You've already got the penalty there. So it's either 5-on-5 or 5-on-3, your choice.
And because of the high stakes there, I imagine you won't see that review used very often. I think it's almost going to have to be clear as day that it was a friendly fire high stick or that it did hit something on its way out of the playing area.
So what this
is, to see anybody use that.
So the onus is now on, and they've already got this, the video assistant coach upstairs. Mm-hmm. That video assistant coach just got some more duties put on his plate.
Sure did.
And you've got
her plate.
And you've got to look at, you know, those replays quickly so as to give your coach time to throw out the flag, if you will, and get that coach's review.
John Tortorella, former Vancouver Canucks head coach. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
He's something.
Is scratching Flyers captain Sean Couturier. He was named captain within the last month, and he's already on the wrong side of torts. He's being sat down for the game against the Maple Leafs alongside Cam Atkinson, Denis Gurianov. Couturier met the media and said he can only control what he can control. Torts blew the media off on this one.
Oh, he didn't want to face the music.
Yeah. So holding players accountable.
Yeah.
But not being accountable ourselves.
I don't want to have to tell the media why I did what I did.
Do you see the hypocrisy here, Torts?
Doesn't it speak for itself, though?
And, of course, everyone waited with bated breath to see what Strombone 1 will tweet about this.
Yes, he was once healthy, scratched himself in a fairly large game at BC Place Stadium.
Large in terms of the confines of the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't much at stake.
Against the Ottawa Senators in that rematch of the
17? Stanley Cup, yes. Philadelphia currently sitting in a playoff spot, remember?
Well, that's the thing that's odd about it is
the GM came out and spoke about it.
Yeah, I mean, Briere said he gave it his blessing, but that's a team that ostensibly is fighting for a playoff spot, although has messaged everything to the fans about a longer-term plan and a rebuild.
Still,
it's actually even used the word rebuild.
Rarely do you risk playoff dates if you're an NHL organization.
Right.
And they are not home and clear in the playoff race. And they have determined that two of their historically very best players do not give them a better chance to win tonight than Joe Schmoes.
The one thing I'll say, though, is that, and this stems from all the way going back to the late Ed Snyder, there is one team in the NHL that behaves quite uniquely in terms of Stanley Cup or bust, and that's the Philadelphia Flyers. Philadelphia historically has not been too concerned about just making the playoffs. It's how can we win a cup? And, of course, haven't won one since the 70s. Have knocked the door, I want to say, six times. Mm. They've lost the finals since the 70s. You know, and you've seen that in terms of the way they've handled coaches over the years, the way they're in on tons of big-name players all the time. You know, it's very much a, and, you know, let's face it, it's a great sports town, and the Flyers punch better than most NHL teams in a crowded sports market. But, you know, like, this is a big city where, you know, you're not necessarily just looking to make it into the playoffs. You're looking to win a title.
But there's no sport where, and I know nobody likes to hear just get in, you never know what happens, because that's not necessarily true. But this sport lends itself to the fifth best team winning a Stanley Cup, and I mean in the conference, more than any other sport. So
more recently,
yeah.
Yes.
So if you are the Flyers and you've previously held that, well, okay, that might have worked back in the day. Nowadays, within reason, get in, you got a decent chance.
Alex Ovechkin, he scores twice. He hits the 20-goal plateau for a 19th time in his career. He is now tied with Brendan Shanahan for the longest consecutive streak of 20-goal seasons, behind only Gordie Howe, who did it 22 times. He's actually got the third most 20-goal seasons of all time, behind Mr. Hockey and
Mike Gartner?
See, I wanted to say Gartner, too, when I heard this stat last night. But no, not Gartner, not Shanahan. Grady, care to guess?
Andrzejczyk.
No.
No!
Luke Robitaille.
Yeah, that's a good one. Gary Curry.
You don't think of this guy as much as a goal scorer, as a point producer, but Ronnie Francis. Ron Francis.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had 20 goal years. He had an interruption, so he's not on the streak list, but came back.
Really? Yeah.
And scored 20 goals. As mentioned, the Capitals in playoff position now, where it's a fun race in the East, at least. We'll see if the West can keep up as well. And speaking of Ron Francis, Kraken lose to Buffalo on home ice. Kraken have lost 3 in a row here.
Well, 5 in a row of any sort.
Yeah, right. 3 regulation losses. Kraken are 14-15-6 at Climate Pledge, so they haven't really exactly, they're better on the road. Been great in front of the home faithful. And they got Softy Mahler of KJR tweeting about him. Good Lord, Ron Francis kept this team together, and they completely fell apart. Lost 5 in a row, including to Buffalo last night. Now, when he says it kept them together, they did send Alexander Wennberg to the New York Rangers for a draft pick at the deadline, but he re-signed Jordan Eberle. He did not trade Justin Schultz and some of the other UFAs. It's kind of a little reminiscent of year one for the Kraken.
Very
subdued, didn't quite create the spark and energy and all that that you would hope in a new market. Now, did so last year, got to the 7th game of the second round with an upset of the Colorado Avalanche, so all the good tidings were there last year. And then there's Shane Wright, Blake. You may remember Mean Face Shane Wright.
Yes.
The 4th pick in the 2022 entry draft. Could have gone number 1 overall to the Montreal Canadiens. They chose Slavkovsky. Got into 8 NHL games last year before he was loaned to Team Canada and the World Juniors. He's played 3 NHL games. 50 AHL games with 38 points. 19-19. But just the 3 NHL games this year, and you got to go back to November when he played. So he did not get a recall.
Yeah.
After Wennberg, a centerman.
And strange, because that's a very nice season for him down in the American League.
Oh, for 19-20, or he turned 20 in January.
Yeah, so he played much of this season as a 19-year-old in the AHL, which is not easy. And knocking on the door of points per game, a 20-goal season seems all but assured. That's a little strange. You don't give him a look. I mean, nothing's going to be ruined there. He'll develop just fine, but I would have been curious if I was the Seattle Kraken.
Well, Ron Francis is one of the more conservative general managers in the National Hockey League. I mean, Ronnie Patience almost applies to him. And, you know, are we past the Detroit Red Wings model of over-marinating prospects in the minors? Riker Evans is up, their best defense prospect, and he's playing games in the National Hockey League. In fact, played 21 and a half minutes last night. But that was a guy that some people looked at and thought, he might make this team out of training camp. He gives them a different dimension on the blue line. Made his NHL debut in December, and he's played, I think he's up to 23 games or something like that now. But, a couple of Seattle prospects didn't necessarily make the mark that I think some people expected at the beginning of the year, which is fine if you've got a great team and you're going to the playoffs and you don't have room for them, but it's a little more difficult to explain when you're a poor team. They have opportunity now to play the kids. They are not in this wild card race anymore. Now 11 back of the Vegas Golden Knights with the same number of games and 4 teams to jump. So it's not going to be a Stanley Cup playoff season down the I-5 for our friends in Seattle. And I say our friends in Seattle because really this rivalry has not gotten off the...
Well, from their standpoint, it might be because
they hate Tyler Myers.
That bully Tyler Myers. From the Canucks' perspective, not so much.
Let's get to today's menu. And it's brought to you by Ben Moss Jewelers. Ben Moss Jewelers, proudly Canadian-owned, operated, a history dating back more than 100 years, 5 locations in BC, including Willowbrook and Langley, and Coquitlam Center, committed to customer satisfaction. You can check out the large selection of Canadian mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds. These mined diamonds available with the payment plan to suit your needs. For more info, check out benmoss.com. Ben Moss, because love is timeless. We'll get to a welcome mat here on the podcast side. John Shannon is going to join us. We'll ask him the poll question, also talk about NHL expansion, the general managers' meetings, and beyond. Elise Pettersson, Tyler Myers featured in that discussion. We'll do some hashtags, the best and worst of Twitter. I love building up to NFL draft season and the different rumors and philosophies that start entering the mainstream when you start talking about these teams, particularly the teams with high picks that are looking at quarterbacks. Tyler Zickel, Vancouver Canadiens play-by-play man, is going to join us from Florida. He is there covering spring training. First time he's made it down to Blue Jays spring training as a member of the organization. He's been 4 years here now in Vancouver, 3 years beyond that in the Jays organization. So we'll talk to him about the different Vancouver Canadiens angles that are playing out down there.
And that season's not far away.
Well, in fact, Blake, the Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow, if you're so inclined. I believe it's a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call to watch the Dodgers and Padres from Korea.
Korea, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Of course, for everybody else, we're a couple weeks away here.
But, like, what, 21 days away from the seats?
Oh, yeah. April 9th is the home opener for the Vancouver Canadiens down at the Nat, and suggest you get tickets. They become a hot one.
Yes.
No pun intended, in the summer.
Let's get into it.
I don't know if it was malicious. Probably not. But I do know it was another WTF moment. My question to ownership would be, was it worth it? And the architect, and I use that term loosely, given there wasn't much architecture, more finger painting with this team. It's like the running of the Bulls in Pamplona. You know someone is going to get hurt. That's what you all need to understand here, right now.
Patrick Helvin twice mentioned his team's lack of meaningful game experience at the NHL general managers meetings in Florida this week. In an interview with The Athletic's Pierre LeBrun, the Canucks GM said, quote, a lot of guys haven't played in the playoffs, before later adding, quote, we've got guys who haven't played important games in March. Managing expectations. Long been the domain of senior club messengers, and if Alvin is starting to downplay his team's chances, one can understand why. The Canucks weren't supposed to be here in first place as the seasons turn from winter to spring. Alvin acknowledged that. It's been a marvelous year, albeit one that has shown cracks the further it goes along. Club has been just okay since the All-Star break, 9-7-3, and management failed to land that top six or even a depth winger to help a sagging position group that is clearly holding this team back. Based on their pursuit of Jake Guentzel, who, of course, wound up in Carolina, it's clear Alvin and company knew that another forward was needed by the March 8th trade deadline. He stayed steadfast, telling LeBrun, quote, there was no plan B, that they targeted specific players and weren't just going to trade for just anybody. The club's limited cap space and a taxed farm system after the Lindholm trade ostensibly prevented them from doing more. Alvin said that he would have needed to move a player out to bring a player in and didn't want to spend future assets to add more by this deadline. Less than 2 weeks later, we're hearing about a lack of big game experience as Alvin smartly downplays his club's chances from here. Better to under-promise and over-deliver, right? That's what they say. The question now, will Canucks fans buy it? It's welcome out for today. We invite your feedback. Feedback channels as follows on email, live at sakarisonprice.com. You can text 778-402-968. The Grey Clips text message inbox on Twitter, at Matt Sakaris, at Sakarison Price.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Joined now by the former executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, the co-host of the Bob Callan podcast, the pride of Oliver, British Columbia, Mr. John Sean. And we're shouting Oliver today, John, because we want you to put your Canucks fan hat on. We're asking on our Tim Hortons poll question, should Canucks fans simply be happy with making the playoffs?
If you had asked me in December, the answer is yes. If you ask me on March the 19th, the answer is no way. Mm-hmm. They've got to go farther than the first round now, for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, that's the year that they've had. That's the investment that this team has made in this roster. So I think expectations have changed in British Columbia when it comes to the Canucks. And I certainly think that the expectations have changed for the club itself. So that's an easy no way vote for me.
Would one round be enough?
Well, how about if we go one round and six games, Matty? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. They have to view success as of getting out of the first round, in my opinion. You know, they're going to meet a tough team in the first round, and they're going to meet a tougher team in the second. And if they get to the third, it's going to even be tougher than that. And so from that perspective, I think you can probably measure the success based on the competition. So if they are able to, play a team that they win, in six games in round one, and then face the Edmonton Oilers or the Vegas Golden Knights and take them and or lose in seven, then I think it's a success. But it's hard to sit here and say without knowing who the competition is.
Well, yeah. Blake and I sometimes poke fun of our friends in the Alberta capital, because in 2017 they lost in round two, I believe, in six games, and talked mm-hmm. about how it was lost in seven games, and talked about how it was a quote magical run.
There was a CBC promo that year
for a young Oilers team that was making its first foray into the Stanley Cup. Into the
relive the Oilers' magical run through the playoffs.
Should their inexperience be held against them, John, or should the inexperience count for something as they make their way into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think we'd be silly not to think that there won't be a learning curve for this group when you consider what they've been through, what they haven't been through. I mean, I was going to point at the success in the bubble and say that was success and that they're going to learn from it. I almost want to take everything that happened in the bubble and throw it out, because it was such a different animal than what you regularly see in a Stanley Cup playoff series. There is going to be, I guarantee you, at some point in the postseason, some disappointment for Canuck fans. There will be. But the expectation should not wane based on the fact is, I mean, do I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup? No, I don't. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. Are they going to make a dent? Yeah, they're going to make a dent. And that's a real positive at this point.
It's a shame in this first year back into the playoffs, real playoffs in 10 years. This happens to be in the ebb and flow of performance. The Western Conference is riding a high right now. The Western Conference has the bulk of the talent, in my opinion. You know, if they were winning the Metropolitan Division right now, you'd certainly like their chances of making it to the conference finals. You're probably less likely to face a juggernaut if you're winning the Metro this year.
I think you're right. You know, we might get a measure of that, Blake, tonight. Winnipeg is in Madison Square Garden to play the Rangers. We might get a real sense of where the East versus West is when it comes to competition. There are times I've always believed that, you know, the Eastern teams, whether there was only three or four of them that were high echelon teams, were actually better than anything in the West. But I don't think that's the case this year. I think the West is certainly deeper. You look at the three teams in the Central, Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado. You guys saw what Colorado does.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good example of that last week in both Vancouver and in Edmonton. So from that perspective, I think the strength of the West is in the Central, plus the Canucks and Oilers. Vegas is still...
They got to be
Vegas
there.
Is on the... Well, I tell you what...
They're not playing well, but they still got to be there. They got the pedigree, John. The question would be, if the Vegas Golden Knights went on a run through the playoffs and made the Stanley Cup final, would you be surprised? Come on, the answer is no.
I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be. And a lot of it's going to come down to how good their goaltending is, because I love their defense. Jack Eichel's proved to be the real deal as one of their key forwards. But then it's going to, the onus on Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson to be the difference makers. And that's something that they haven't had a lot of this year.
It's true. Winnipeg on the marquee at MSG. Gary's worst nightmare.
Oh, man.
It's happening here tonight.
Oh, come on now.
Damn well, Shannon, that was always the big fear. We really want to put Winnipeg on the marquee at MSG, and I have all these New Yorkers go by and snicker, go, who the hell is Winnipeg?
Steve from Queens isn't walking by the marquee going, oh, Winnipeg's in town. Oh, maybe I'll buy today.
Hey, listen, we've always sold on our, every marketing department of your own team sells on not who's coming to town, but your team. Which leads to a question, not that I'm trying to take over this segment, which leads to the question of schedule. Mm. In 20 years ago, people were lamenting the fact that Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby were only coming to Western Canada once every 2 years. Do we need to see every team in every arena anymore? I think that there's going to be a ton of traction about rejigging the schedule to discuss whether they want more rivalries on a regional basis. I'd like to see Colorado guaranteed two games against the Canucks at Rogers Arena every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they can't guarantee that the way the schedule's built, simply because you still have to go to the East and play them home and home.
Right.
So do you want to limit the amount of Eastern games and then put more onus on divisional and conference play? I think that's going to be a question that's going to come up.
Well, let me ask you this, Sean. And incidentally, let's take Connor Bedard twice per year every year with the Blackhawks here, back in his hometown, right?
I rest my case, sure.
Let me ask you this, Sean. Is that a little bit of the difference between Canadian hockey fans and American hockey fans, in that the regional rivalries, Penguins, Flyers, Devils, Rangers, Islanders, Rangers, all that, those are more meaningful games to them, whereas we here in Canada absolutely want to see every team and every star, not even superstar, just every star in the building once per season?
I think a lot of what we did when I was at the league at that point was to make sure that every Canadian fan saw every key player. Yes, I do think that that's something. But I'll tell you what, you joke about it. I do know that there are teams in the Eastern Conference that are saying, why are we watching the Calgary Flames? We don't need the Calgary Flames in our building. We need the New Jersey Devils. We need the Carolina Hurricanes. I do think that conversation is going to occur, and it's not a knock at the Calgary Flames. At the same time, do we really need to see the New Jersey Devils in Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver? Do we? I don't know. Once every second year, maybe, but do we need to see them every year?
Somebody's going to get pissed off that McKinnon, McDavid, and Bedard.
Here's family on line one for John. Yes, they need to see all their boys playing together.
The excuse I always heard, though, with the NHL was the superstars need to be shared, and that if they're not in our everybody's building, that's a problem. But, of course, Americans have grown up with the NFL where they don't get to see Patrick Mahomes every year, right?
No, but they get to see him on television, and that's one thing that I think has really changed in both countries. Is the accessibility of the 1,300 games that you get to watch on television if you want to. If you're really a serious hockey fan, you do buy the NHL package. And you do get to see all those games.
But you do get to see LeBron James in every building every year in the NBA. Unless it's a load management game.
That's right.
Here's the deal. They have less games. You know, you don't laugh. They have less games. Yeah. You know, and that's the that I mean, well, this discussion did not really exist in a 32 team league.
Right.
This was something that's the fine line is you could probably hedge it when you had only 30 teams at when the decision was way back in 2005.
Then that brings me to 34, John, or 33. Well, what do you make of this Anson Carter Atlanta group? And would that be in concert with another expansion franchise?
Yeah, we're going to have two in Atlanta.
You're going to have what?
No, I'm just...
Two in Atlanta?
Yeah, by the way, there's more than one group in Atlanta. To give everyone their due is that there's a group that Anson's part of, and then there's another group by a local billionaire that already has architectural drawings for a new building in place and ready to do structural discussions and soil sampling at a place in the North County of the Atlanta area. So. I think we got the message from Bill Gary last week is that we really appreciate Anson's enthusiasm, but we're just not there yet. And I think we're still a ways away from expansion. We have to solve Arizona first before we do anything about expansion.
That's going to be Salt Lake City, right? Like teams going to move to Salt Lake City. Yeah. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Do you know if Mr. Fertitta in Houston, the owner of the Rockets and the building there, is still interested? At one point he was talked about. In fact, at one point, I think he came out and said something about it, but do you know whether Houston and the Rockets ownership there is viable?
Well, they're viable for sure, but they're interested. Yes. And one of the reasons they're interested is because what they don't want to is have a second building in Houston to compete with them for other things.
Right.
So you know, it's the devil you know in so many ways for Tillman Fertitta and the people in Houston. So I do think there's interest in Houston by his group. And one of the key reasons is to make sure that there's not another competing arena in the marketplace. So if you look at Houston, you look at Atlanta, you look at, you know, I still think the best option for an eighth Canadian team is here in Toronto. And then where else are we going to go? I think Gary's in a pretty good situation right now. Let's figure out what goes on with Arizona first, and then we can figure out if and when expansion takes place. And I don't see expansion taking place before any of the collective bargaining agreement discussions are finished and a new CBA is in place and a new TV deal in the United States in place. So we're, 4 years away?
Hey, do you think the PA's got any chance to get some of those expansion revenues in the new CBA? Do you think they'll make the case?
They'll make the case. I'm not sure they'll win that.
Yeah. Well,
then the question is what will Gary give up in order to keep that $1 billion for the other owners.
That's it. I mean, Gary has lorded international play in the Olympics over them as a bargaining chip. I think it would only be right if the PA does the same with expansion revenues, which right now the players do not share.
GM meetings, any big takeaways for you, John, whether it's overtime tweaks or LTIR? Do you think anything comes of these GM meetings?
No, this is a place setter. This is a, you know, the discussions, the breakout groups, the big group. Do they want to expand video replay on puck over glass? I think it's a mistake for a more of a practical reason than anything else. But at the same time, I think what we'll do is that people will say, we're going to discuss this and put this to the forefront. You know, nothing's going to change in overtime, guys. They're really happy with overtime. They don't want to tweak it. You know, if you want to go take the puck outside the blue line and regroup, that's at your own risk. And it may not be exciting, but overall, I think overtime is pretty damn good. So,
John, I have a time to review. People have said, why don't you just put a limit on time? Like, the ref can be at that TV for 90 seconds. And if he doesn't see it in 90 seconds, he's got to move on. How about that?
Because maybe it's more difficult than you think. And do you want to get it right, or you just want to put a time limit on it? You know, if you're good, this is the downside. This is what I mean. I remember sitting in the meetings with the managers, with the board, and Gary warned them of this, that if we go down this track, it will be an issue at some time. You know, the worst complaint, I mean, it's fascinating. Connor McDavid has a big voice in this league, and he claimed it was 15 minutes for that review in Chicago. It was just over four. It felt like 15, but it was just over four. Mm-hmm. So you have to put these kind of things in a practical sense more than anything else. If you want video review, this is what you're going to get. And if you don't have video review, you're going to bitch and complain that was offside and your team got cheated.
Well, so, why is it tough? You say it's more difficult than you think. In what sense? It's the digital age. My God, we can do anything in split seconds here. What's the holdup?
Camera angles, speed. You know, there are still discussion points. I mean, they cannot zoom in that close, like, without pixelating things. There are still some issues that way. It's not a perfect science. It still is not a perfect science. So is it close? Sure, it's close, but it's not a perfect science. And do you want to wait the extra 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes to be right? Or just say, okay, you've got a time limit. Because what's going to happen is, and all it needs to do is to happen to the Vancouver Canucks once for the Vancouver Canuck fans to be in an uproar. And nobody wants Canuck fans in an uproar. They are not fun when they're like that.
We take no responsibility for them.
Almost nobody.
I would say on that, if you can't, like, if it's not abundantly obvious in the first couple of go rounds, whether you zoom in or not, if even from the original TV angle, if you still can't tell, then I don't care if it's right or not. That's the reasonable expectation. It's like, even in court, you know, no one's saying definitively, it's just beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, like, and that's all we're looking for here, is that if you can't see it immediately, it's probably not worth talking about, because
by the way, Blake, it isn't your money. when that offside decides a series and the Canucks lose out in, you know, $5 million gates for four more gates at home, that's $20 million for the Canucks. That's when it means something. And you have to keep that in mind.
You're absolutely right. I care not for a single penny of that man's money.
You think he'll miss any meals in that event?
Blake?
No, Francesco.
I always worry about, you know, rich
billionaire's
guys.
Money.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, speaking of rich guy, Elias Pettersson, you worried about him right now?
No. In many ways, this is the dog days of the season. The Canucks are in the playoffs. You know, everybody's taken. They've got a target on their back. He's the latest target because he's the richest target. It will work out. Life will be fine. He's still a great player. He hasn't changed anything. And by the time the playoffs come, Pettersson will be a factor.
Alvin said he doesn't suspect any of his UFA work will get done before the end of the season, unless somebody is willing to take a team friendly deal. We know Tyler Myers is very well established here in British Columbia with his family. We know there are specific family needs here in British Columbia for his son. We're wondering, would it be wise if the Canucks tried to jump the market, get ahead of the market on a right shot defenseman, and see if he's willing to sign a club friendly deal? What says you?
Well, you could always do that. You know, and let's face it, that's exactly what they've done with Filip Hronek too. They threw out a dollar figure to him. And by the way, it got rejected rather quickly. You have nothing to lose by throwing a number out. But the challenge of that becomes, if you throw a number out, are you negotiating? And do you want to be negotiating at this time of year? That becomes the real question. So that there's two sides to that story that I think that you have to watch for.
Mr. Shannon, we thank you for this. You've edified us, and we will look for this new rejig schedule, which honestly, when Sydney and Ovi are retired and gone,
right,
Blake, I'm not sure I need to see every Eastern Conference team here.
It's a lot of pressure on Jack Hughes to carry the Eastern Conference.
I mean, as good a player like Sam Reinhart, Jack Hughes, you've got some terrific Austin Matthews, you got some terrific players in the Eastern Conference, but I'm not sure you have a...
I don't need to see them. No.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have a transcendent one that I would need to see.
I know there are presidents of clubs in the East saying, why do we need to see all the teams in the West all the time?
Yep. Hmm. And I can understand that as well, because you get a litany of Canadian teams in some of those U.S. markets.
You face one division per year.
That's great stuff. Yep. John, thanks for this. Until next week.
Cheers, boys.
Sick Harrison Price from Wall Center presentation, Applewood Auto Group.
And today we want to tell you about the fabulous deals at Applewood Ford in Port Hardy. The F-150, you know it, you love it. Dependable. It's the right size. Too many small pickups these days. The F-150 can carry stuff. Finance it at 0% for up to 60 months on select trims. Give them a call. Applewood Ford in Port Hardy. It's all good at Applewood.
All good at Applewood. Tim Horton's poll question. Should Canucks fans be happy just making the playoffs, yes or no? You can vote at Sick Harrison Price on Twitter and YouTube. Speaking of Twitter, hashtags the best and worst of Twitter.com. I'll lead us off at Dan Orlovsky 7, ESPN football analyst, former NFL quarterback. Elliot Wolf, acting general manager for the Patriots, was in Green Bay when they took Aaron Rodgers. He was in Cleveland when they took Baker Mayfield. He was in New England when they took Mac Jones. He knows what happens when you take a QB with a bad roster around them and what happens when you build the roster first, then take the QB. I expect New England to trade back. That would be quite a bombshell with the third overall pick, because everybody is expecting that the three quarterbacks, Caleb Williams first to Chicago most likely, and then Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, Drake May, the quarterback at North Carolina, would go 2-3 in some order. Now, Minnesota made that trade to get a second first-round pick from Houston, and the idea was to gain the draft capital to move up. But that would really shake up the draft, and that would also be New England committing to a longer-term rebuild here.
Mm-hmm.
If they're getting the roster in order this year to try. And next year's quarterback class is not viewed as strong as this year's, although Shedeur Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders at Colorado, is expected to be a high pick. It's pretty well grounded that if you're going to – how many of these high picks, Blake, have we seen get thrown into the fire and fail miserably? So you think New England, you think Tom Brady, excellence at quarterback, and boy, if they could only get another quarterback, what they could do again. But a declarative statement here from Orlovsky makes you wonder whether he knows something.
Seahawks, next two first-round picks plus a third?
Yeah, I don't know.
That probably doesn't even do it, does it?
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty high, number three.
Yeah, they've got a couple quarterbacks there now, of course, with Sam Howell alongside.
You could cut one of those two pretty easily.
Well, yeah, I would be surprised. But I do wonder whether some of the teams like Vegas, like Minnesota, like Denver could be inclined to move up.
There are teams more desperate than the Seahawks,
there are,
for sure.
There are. Yeah.
the state of quarterbacking right now in the NFL. It wasn't very good last year.
At reporter Chris, interesting nugget coming out of today's NHL GM meetings. A couple of managers mentioned that the league has signed on to do a behind-the-scenes series with Amazon that will center around 10 to 12 star players. It's due for a fall release. What are the chances, Matthew, that a Vancouver Canuck would be on that 10 to 12 player list?
I would bet small.
The one thing I could see possibly is an American captain in Quinn Hughes with a brother with the brother act.
Yeah, possibly. I also wonder about Miller because I think he'd be entertaining.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not. Right. I wouldn't put large sums of money on it, but I don't think it's impossible.
Put it this way: I think Austin Matthews in Toronto would be the choice of a Canadian player. He's an American. He scores all these goals, and of course.
And how do you not have Connor McDavid? How do you not have Connor McDavid?
Right. So, if you're doing star players. I mean, the other thing I would say writ large about this series
Kachuk
is...
Kachuk brother, Brady and Matthew, perhaps.
Yep. It's a decent shout. Every league, every sport is doing these now. So the onus will be on the National Hockey League to rise up to drive to survive, full swing, some of the more successful ones. And also, the onus will be on the National Hockey League to give us compelling content.
Yeah.
Just the regular beige you get from NHL players when the room opens.
Well, that's the thing you've got to look at the guys
drive
that are
to survive. Great. That's what's made Full Swing really good. That you've looked at the dark side, if you will, the drama, the conflict within a paddock, on a practice tee, and in this case, within dressing rooms.
Now, you don't need all of them to be family men, but it certainly helps when you've got an off-ice story to tell. JT Miller's got that going for him. Guys like Austin Matthews, I mean, how interesting is Austin Matthews away? Like, Marner's probably more interesting off the ice than Matthews
is. Zadorov called him a fashion icon.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
You don't think...
It's not a great quote. Like, you're going to get way more out of the Kachucks. Heck, even I think McDavid's maybe more interesting quote than Matthews these days.
What's the nightclub street in Toronto again?
Well, Young?
Queen?
Yeah.
King, Queen?
You don't think, like, Austin Matthews on Queen West? No?
Doing damage.
I don't think he's doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think he is.
You think so?
Yeah. At our Westhead, Canada Soccer is burning through cash. After the Federation reported a $4 million deficit in 2022, a source told TSN that it had a $3 million shortfall in 2023, and that it projects another deficit of $4 million this year. Source, quote, "The uncomfortable truth is the better our players do on the pitch right now, the worse financially it is for the Federation, which is running on fumes. We're talking about an organization that is on pace to burn through more than $10 million in cash reserves in 3 years. That's unsustainable." Of course, part of that is the bad deal that they made for media rights, but there are costs, and particularly greater costs when you're talking about world-class players and flying them all over the world. And team is centralized now in advance of this Copa America qualifier against Trinidad and Tobago on the weekend. God, I hope financial problems don't become a storyline this week. I fear that financial problems may be a storyline every time a Canadian national team centralizes now.
Both sides sort of have a responsibility part here in that, the business deal with CSB was a bad one and didn't take the gamble on the talent they had coming down the pipe. And yet at the same time, because it was such a meteoric rise where you've got all of a sudden players playing in the big five leagues, those players aren't going to stand for previous Canada Soccer standards for coaching and rehab medicine and all that sort of stuff, traveling and economy. You know, when you're playing for Bayern Munich, when you're playing for Lille, like, it's a different standard, and you've got to keep that up, and that costs money. And so to cater to those new standards costs money, and unless you're bringing it in, you're going to run a deficit. It's it's simple math. So the business deal is
you can
holding
say,
them back.
You can say, okay, sell more corporate sponsorships. We don't know the value of these sponsorships, but Canada Soccer already partners with CIBC, Nike, Allstate, TELUS, Toyota, Visa, Carlsberg, Gatorade, GE Appliances, and some others. So there are some big corporations already involved with Canada Soccer. But how much more they can do on that side of things, or whether or not they can charge more.
But because of the CSB deal, they haven't seen enough of that. You know, that money gets spread out.
Right.
And it's still soccer in Canada. It's still not going to get the same money that soccer elsewhere in the world gets.
Let me ask one last question. Had the team fared better at the Qatar World Cup, would that have changed the...
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but again, at that time, the CSB deal is still in effect. So you still have to extricate yourself from the CSB deal. But yeah, I think that probably does help to some degree. Staying with soccer at MLS, the top six remain steady, but movement isn't far. It's the... MLS power rankings. Montreal worms its way up into 10th, and look at the Vancouver Whitecaps in number 7. So two of the Canadian teams on the strength of really surprising and good starts. And the Whitecaps wanted a good start, but this is a great start.
And Montreal's start would have been better if not for the
sweeping. They would be undefeated too.
Wind-aided goal in Chicago.
They would be undefeated through four games if they didn't have that wacky ending. So, yeah, great to see the Canadian teams making an impact. Pardon the pun.
At Brian Swain, Canadians in March Madness. There are 42 of them this year on the men's and women's bracket. Four of them from British Columbia. Forward Isaac Jack of Port Alberni with the Dayton Flyers. They play Thursday against Nevada. And the other British Columbian on the men's side of things is in the same little pod, same bracket. Eli Georgievich of White Rock for Long Beach State. If they were to upset Arizona, maybe he would face his fellow British Columbia Dayton in the Isaac Jack and Dayton in the second round. Then on the ladies' side, Kennedy Dickey from Kelowna is a really good player for the University of Portland. They play Friday against Kansas State. And Deja Lee from Surrey is the leading scorer for UC Irvine. They're a 13 seed, and they play Saturday against Gonzaga. And more basketball news for our country. Both the men's and women's draws for the Paris Olympics go today. So we'll find out what pool.
And how rough a road, yeah.
Canada is in.
Final one for me and a sad one. At @real_RobRossi, Konstantin Koltsov, the former NHL player and boyfriend of Aryna Sabalenka, the number 2 player in the world, has died at the age of 42. I'll let you do the math, folks. It was not from natural causes. It was not suspicious either. So he had just traveled to Miami to watch Sabalenka play. Alas, a tragic end for Sabalenka. That's and terrible. A sad end for Koltsov, who was coaching a KHL team this season.
Rest in peace. That's hashtags for today. We are joined now by Vancouver Canadiens play-by-play man and PR man par excellence. Tyler Zickel finds himself at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida, covering Blue Jays spring training, where the Jays are facing some spring training competition before the season gets going for real.
I'd say we're really jealous of the weather behind you, except it's almost as gorgeous here. So, but I know that's going to come to an end a lot sooner here than it will there. So congratulations on the weather coming up for you, because it'll be better than us eventually.
No doubt. Cheers to be with all of you guys. And certainly it's always a pleasure to be here with you and to be coming to you from sunny Tampa on the road, chasing some Blue Jays minor leaguers today. Can't get any better for March 19th.
Well, I'm so pleased, Tyler. You've been with the Seas how long now, and finally made it to Dunedin, huh? To catch up.
Yeah, season 4 and season 7 in the org, going back to my New Hampshire Fisher Cats days. And yeah, first time down here, I got a tour of this not so spanking new, but state-of-the-art PDC. It is a special place in Dunedin.
Mm-hmm. Seas start their season April 5th, the big home opener, April 9th at the Nat. We're looking forward to that. First of all, we know how great a job the Seas have done in terms of winning championships and selling out the building, but player development has been a thing
through Vancouver as well. How many former Seas started at Blue Jays camp this year,
Tyler? I wish I had that exact number in front of me there, Matt, but I'll tell you this. We've got, of the non-roster invitees, I believe 17 of 18 had come through the Canadians roster, whether it was in Vancouver or our 2021 season in Hillsborough. So in the last three seasons, guys that people see at the Nat or around the Northwest League are now making an impact in Major League camp. And certainly we're going to see more of those in 2024. This is as best of time as ever to be a Canadiens fan and a Blue Jays fan. If you love good baseball, we've been chirping the same thing year after year for this since moving up to high A. But truly, you get guys coming up like Alan Roden, for example, the Northwest League batting champion last year. He's been in the starting lineup for the Major League club on spring training side most of these days. So it's exciting to see these guys make their way to get some shine.
Mm-hmm. You must be big man on campus there as all these guys catch up with you, huh?
How did you know? I'm blushing a little bit. I've been taking notes. I've got a list of all the guys I've had a chance to catch up with. It is a cool moment. And the two of you know this from your long time in the industry. You get to know these guys off the field, away from the rink, for example, and certainly a great opportunity to reconnect, to catch up. They're coming over to me, leaving the field in the midst of batting practice just to say what's up. It's a special thing for us media types.
Yeah, and of course, the games aren't going for real yet, and so the pressure's off, and there tends to be a better vibe around the clubhouse.
Well, and you're a sign of a place that many of these guys will have graduated from. So there's, you know, it's sort of like looking back at high school alumni to some degree for them, and there's a fondness there, isn't it?
100%. You know, I got to see Ricky Tiedemann's most recent start at TD Ballpark the other day, and in his press availability after his few innings, in which he looked quite good. I asked him, of course, had to ask him about the Nat. And to this day, it is still the most special place he says that he's played baseball. The same is true for Nate Pearson, who I had a chance to catch up with after his inning in a third scoreless with three strikeouts just the other day. So Nat Bailey is a place that sticks with these guys long after they depart Vancouver. And that is really thanks in part to the fans. Every guy I talked to this week, the fans, the building, the fans, the building, the history, the team, the city, they want to come back to Vancouver as much as they want to make their way up the ladder.
And those of us who were there in May of 2022 will never forget Ricky Tiedemann's first start for the Seas, 9 strikeouts and 4 2/3. He looked every bit one of the top prospects in baseball. What do you think, Tyler? I mean, it's a pretty strong rotation, but do you think we see Tiedemann in Toronto this year? Do you think he starts a game for the Jays at some point this year?
I think things would have to go really left to not see Ricky T in Toronto or in one of the other 29 big league cities making a start with the Blue Jays across his chest. The stuff looks great. He looks as built as he's ever looked. In fact, the Blue Jays media department asking us for some photos of his time in Vancouver to show the difference between 2022 Ricky T and 2024 Ricky T, standing next to him as I was just the other day. It's noticeable the work he's put in. He's added, I think they said, like 20 pounds of muscle over the offseason. Ah, to be young and to have that metabolism, to be able to put on those LBs, the good kind. But he looks as good as he's ever looked.
I was going to say putting on the LBs is not a problem, but the good kind, yes, it is. Anybody else grab your attention, former Seer or not, in your exploits down there?
Oh, of course, David Schneider made his huge debut last year, and it's been more of the same after a relatively slow start to the spring. I got to go to the spring breakout game where all the prospects were playing, which, of course, was actually just behind me at George M. Steinbrenner Field against those dastardly Yankees who really put the beat down on the Jays prospects. But some guys that stood out included Addison Barger, a ringing triple. Great to see a guy who may join the Canadians this year, Brandon Barriera, the first rounder from a couple of seasons ago. He's very likely going to make his way to Vancouver this year. And getting to see guys like Alan Roden, who we've already mentioned, even Phil Clark from 2021 getting the start in that prospect game. Spencer Horwitz, who was a 2021 Canadian. He's a guy who not only owns the Northwest League hitting streak record, 28 consecutive games with a hit, albeit down in Hillsborough in that season that we certainly love to remember, but glad we don't have to go through again. And guys that we saw last year from the championship team who are making an impact as well. I even got to see Adam Mackow make the start. It wasn't his best outing, but Adam Mackow was as good as anybody in the Northwest League or in the organization down the stretch last year, leading the Seas to the championship.
Barriera's a hard-throwing lefty. He's going to be fun to watch at the Nat this year. Incidentally, you got your ring yet, Tyler?
I have not cut my ring yet. In fact, okay. We're going to do a presentation in the month of April. And it was nice. I was at the minor league award ceremonies at the complex a couple of days ago. And not only did Brent LaValle go up and get to do the presentation, but he had a funny moment where he took off his Blue Jays top and he has his Canadiens championship shirt on underneath. That got a big reaction from the entire organization. And so to be honoring those 2023 champs was terrific. And a lot of guys who came through Vancouver the last couple of years honored as the best at their specific position. For example, Garrett Spain, he was named the Defender of the Year across the entire organization. Davis Schneider, he was, of course, the Offensive Player in the Year in the org. And Devereaux Harrison, who was our George Bamberger Pitcher of the Year for the Canadiens, named the organization's Pitcher of the Year, which is just indicative of the terrific talent, not only that comes through to start in Vancouver, but what Brent LaValle and his staff have been able to do to develop these guys.
What's your guess? A few holdovers from last year's roster on the team this year?
Yeah, certainly guys we saw in the second half last year, and we may even see some guys who spent a good chunk of the season with us. There is so much depth at the top half of the organization right now, in the infield and in the outfield. So there's some guys who we may see coming back who we got to see for most of 2023. But I'm also excited to see guys who we saw for just a splash, guys like Ryan Jennings, who is a great top-of-the-line starter who had been hurt. But he made that start in the clinching game in the Northwest League Championship Series last year. I'm looking forward to seeing Nick Goodwin, who hit his first high home run in that same game. And then guys who are on that prospect list coming this way. Will we see Arjun Namala just yet? Probably not this year, but I got to see him up close and personal. And I'll tell you this, fellas, I wish I was half as built and quick at 18 as he is. He's a specimen.
Yeah, he's the first-round pick from last year, a shortstop from the high school ranks in Florida, and a kid of South Asian descent as well, looking to blaze a trail there. Talk to us about another former Sea, our old friend John Schneider, former Sea's manager, now Blue Jays manager. How's John doing these days?
John's doing fantastic. I was lucky enough to spend 15 minutes with him for a one-on-one interview. That's going to be a Sea's exclusive coming up here later this week that we'll put out on our various social channels and on CanadiansBaseball.com. The vibes are high. What happened in the playoffs last year has been fully flushed. You can tell that he has learned from that, and he is fully and clearly focused on what the goal is this year, getting over the hump in the playoffs, going deep and going all the way, and doing so with guys that he has been the skipper for since his minor league days. Of course, I was in New Hampshire with him in 2018, Vlad, Bo, Cavan, Jordan Romano, a part of that team, all guys who have come through the system. And that is all coming to a fore now at the highest level. It's exciting to see what Schneider has been able to do, you know, adding a couple of pieces along the way. And of course, the enigma that is the Joey Votto experience coming to camp, hitting the home run on his first pitch and then rolling his ankle on a bat in the dugout.
So it'll
be interesting to see how that goes down, but we're all rooting for Joey V, that's for sure.
Well, there are a few conversations in the world of sports that are better than the Joey Votto conversation, Tyler. So do let us know if you've caught up with them, and if not, make sure to catch up with them. But what do you make of his chances of breaking? He'd have to sign, I guess. What do you make of his chances of breaking spring training and being with the big club on opening day?
You know, barring, I should say, this ankle injury aside, and from what I've heard around the complex, it's minor and just something that they're going to be cautious about, a more disappointing than like physically a problem, and certainly a great opportunity for him to make an impact at 40 years old. I think it's not a 0% chance that he breaks camp with the big league club, but if he ends up in AAA Buffalo for a little bit for the first part of the season, and then he comes up to be able to be a bat, you know, you got Dan Vogelbach and Joey Votto kind of operating in that same role. And we love a story in this business, right? And of course, Joey Votto's story is one that we would love to continue to tell in Toronto. And so we will see how that shakes out over these next 10 days to 2 weeks as the guys get ready to break camp and make their way to the regular season.
His leadership doesn't hurt in that clubhouse either, though, right? Like, as much as you hope for some vintage Votto bat work, his voice in that room might be as useful as anything.
100%. There's a special energy about him. I was watching big league batting practice at the complex yesterday morning before my conversation with John Schneider, and watching Joey take his hacks. First of all, wasn't surprised he hit that home run after watching him take BP. But the rapport he already has with guys like Vladdy and Bo Bichette, saw him chopping it up with Kevin Biggio. Justin Turner is another guy who brings that veteran presence, and seeing JT do his thing with some of the younger, albeit established stars on the Blue Jays roster, I think those are big additions that might be that missing piece to take this big league club all the way.
Well, we know Jose Berríos will start opening day. That's been announced. We have hopes that Kevin Gausman is healthy, as well as Romano and Swanson seem to have some arm issues down there in the bullpen a little bit. Tyler, let us know what's going on at the Nat this year and with the Vancouver Canadians, who are less than a month away here.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, reigning champions, right? So we're ready to run it back and repeat. In fact, I had dinner with our skipper, Brent Lavallee, last night with his family as well, and they are locked in, ready to get back to Vancouver and try and make it back-to-back championships. We get going on April 9th, as you said, and it's a packed promo schedule as usual. Of course, the Nooners are back. We're doing our thing. We're doing the Saturday matinees for the first 3 months of the season as well, so you can catch a 105 game Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Ontario Street for those first 3 months of the season. And really just looking forward to getting things going again. And as you may have seen out in the media up there in Vancouver of late, the renovations that are to come to get the stadium up to the MLB standards that have been set out by Major League Baseball, fans are going to start to see some of that as we begin this year. It's going to affect more things on the player side, not the fan experience side, but just a testament to not only our organization's commitment to the building and the city, but of course, with the partnership of Diamond Baseball Holdings as well. It's an exciting time, a new era of Canadian baseball, and we're charging ahead into the future starting April 9th.
CanadiansBaseball.com for tickets, and we, as always, suggest you get there quickly, plan well in advance. They become a tougher and tougher ticket the higher the mercury goes in the thermometer.
And by the way, speaking of that, we're going to save some of this sunshine. It's been beautiful here the last few days. We're going to save it. We're going to put it in our back pocket. We're going to wring out all the rain here at the end of March and make sure that you guys can have a rain-free April. How about that?
It sounds great to me. Music to my ears. Can't wait to be in studio next time. And I can't wait for the annual Securus and Price filming at the ballpark.
Yes, that is coming up.
It's a highlight.
That's coming up. We'll have some bits to do here at the Nat coming up in the next few weeks. Thanks for this, Tyler. Be well.
Always a pleasure. Cheers, fellas.
Harrison Price from Wall Center presentation, Applewood Auto Group. You can text us 778-402-9680, the Great Clips text message inbox. Save the date, April 20th from noon to 5 p.m. The Hollywood Theater on West Broadway in Kitsilano. We're throwing a party. It's a playoff party. And going to raise some money for the BC Mental Health Foundation in the name of our late friend and colleague, Jason Botchford. Bro, do your playoffs, a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason, goes from noon to 5. We'll be talking playoffs, taking audience questions, remembering Jason, and raising some money for the BC Mental Health Foundation. Our friends, the Matinee, are going to play, so there'll be live music as well. Tickets going to be available real soon here. As a matter of fact, I'm just looking at our final poster flyer for this event that's going to be coming out. Get a chance to buy some tickets and come celebrate with us. Okay. Results from Monday's Tim Hortons poll question. We asked you, who needs to step it up more, Lindholm or Pettersson? What did the people say?
People said Pettersson.
Percentage?
65.
62. Tracking about 66-33, Petey, most of the day. Lots of people in the comments saying both. Yes, we understand that.
Not an option, folks.
Ken voted Lindholm because, A, he needs to step up for his career, needs a new deal, and the way he's playing, he's going to be lucky to get $4 million per from Columbus. Well, doubt that. And Petey can win a game series by himself. So for the Canucks, for sure he needs to find a dominant game. Marcin says, amazing. Lindy has 38% here. It's on the rental to carry the team? Question mark. Scarbacon said, that trade is looking brutal every second. And Al says simply, who do they count on more?
Yeah, I mean, one guy's the cornerstone franchise player. One guy's a rental that's going to be here for a few more weeks. Mm-hmm. So
Whitecaps news on Monday, Vanni Sartini has had his suspension reduced from 6 games to 4. You had been calling for this really from the moment he was assessed the 6-game suspension for his behavior in that playoff game against BC, or at BC Place against LAFC, which means Mike D'Agostino, undefeated Mike D'Agostino, will coach his final game this Saturday against Real Salt Lake. Vanny will be back.
a week from Saturday against Portland at BC Place.
I kind of like that as a coaching storyline for him as well, in that you can sort of – it's an artificial deadline. It's an artificial thing to play for. But, it, you know, as you get into the middle part of the season, you find artificial, you know, things. And, like, win one for the Gipper,
for
if
Mike,
you will. Finish it in style here for Mike.
Hey, local coach, great story. He's done wonders.
Yeah.
Because Vanny was quick to praise Mike last year on several set pieces and several scouting items from the opposition. And our friends from the BC Lions with their announcement today. Touchdown Pacific. This is the Lions' regular season game in Victoria at Royal Athletic Park on August 31st against the Ottawa Redblacks. This is the companion to Touchdown Atlantic that you've seen in the past in Moncton and elsewhere in the Maritimes. So the game is Saturday, August 31st. But tickets go on sale Thursday, March 28th at 10 a.m. Lions president Dwayne Veneau saying the response from the season ticket holders has been tremendous. So you may want to get on this quickly because you don't have the capacity at Royal Athletic Park that you have at BC Place. Fewer tickets available. So get on that Thursday, March 28th, 10 a.m. I know our listeners on the island will be quick to get on that. We have heard consistently for years that football fans on the island like those afternoon starts, particularly in the summer, because it allows them to get to the mainland and back on the same day. A couple of ferries, no need for a hotel night.
Not many grass games left in the CFL.
Right. This will be grass.
So they're going to have to figure out what cleats they want to use.
Well, in fact, Blake, I don't think we
there
have
isn't.
Any.
No, there isn't
yeah,
any.
Yeah, because Commonwealth is no longer grass.
No, that's it. So a little bit of a different feel for them. I'm sure the players will like that.
Don't get me started on the grass at Commonwealth.
Well, in the later
years. Did you ever cover a game at Commonwealth with the...
No, not the grass Commonwealth, no.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember the SNL skit years ago, Happy Fun Ball?
Yes.
Don't touch Happy Fun Ball. Don't taunt Happy Fun Ball. Don't anything to Happy. That's kind of the way the Edmonton Football Club used to treat the grass at Commonwealth. Oh, well, you can come to the stadium to do media, but don't nobody step on the grass.
Yeah. And it never really presented itself like a majestic piece of turf. Like, it was fine.
Oh, you guys couldn't possibly do your walkthrough practice at Commonwealth. You can go over there to Clark, the companion stadium, because we just can't have people on the grass. I cannot tell you how many times I sat in the press box at Commonwealth writing my story hours after a game and saw Edmonton Eskimo staffers and their families on the grass playing touch football and all that. Hmm. And I'd sit there and go, wait a second.
I thought it was hallowed ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, grass, Royal Athletic Park, Saturday, August 31st for the Lions and Red Blacks tickets a week from Thursday. Errors and omissions from Monday's program, and it's brought to you by our friends at Yellow Dog Brewing, Neighborhood Brewing, Yellow Dog Spirits, Foolish Winery. Yellow Dog has released their second mix pack, Dog Park. The Dog Park 8 Tall Can Mix Pack consists of 4 light and refreshing beers, the classic Retriever Golden Ale, Rollover Cerveza Negra, and 2 new brews exclusive to the mix pack. That's Rascal Japanese Lager and Pack Leader Pilsner. Check it out at their tasting room in Port Moody and at government and private liquor stores near you.
End of the show means it's the end of the workday.
Right, exactly. Crack yourself a Yellow Dog. I have 2 from Monday's program. Colorado Avalanche have won 6 straight, not 7. Jeff gave them a little too much credit.
Mm.
And the U-Sport goalie who signed a NHL contract coming out of the U-Sport finals, Connor Unger. He signed with the Edmonton Oilers, and he tends goal for Brock University. So that's who the scouts were flocking to see and balking to pay $180 to attend the U-Sport.
I remember for years we treated Mike Ridley as the last Canadian university.
Corey Cross. I covered Corey Cross. Yeah.
Joel Ward.
That's right. So there have been the odd.
Yep. It's great hockey,
and
it's
U-Sport hockey. If your community doesn't have an AHL team, Your U Sport hockey team is typically the second best team in town after the NHL team. These are guys who are older than major junior players, graduated major junior players in a lot of cases. It's a terrific brand of hockey.
Go check out a University Cup. If you're ever near a University Cup, go check it out.
Well, except for the fact that you know the University of New Brunswick is going to win. Outside of that, be good if it was a little more competitively balanced. Or Alberta. U of A usually, too. Oh, my God. Yeah. UNB, all they do is win.
And if you're a young broadcaster and you want to get some reps, go reach out to the team.
Did you do play-by-play anywhere, Grady?
Yeah, U of T. My color
You were color.
Well, my color girl bailed on me right as I was about to go on air.
One man booth.
But I did a lot of camera work at Guelph.
Ah.
Yeah. Evan Cormier, remember him? He was a goalie there.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Did you do any
collegiate?
Yeah, U Sport or collegiate?
No. No. Not U Sport.
Blake Price. Too big for U Sport.
Yep.
Hey, I did Tier 2 Junior.
It's true. Remember you and Jeff on the BCHL, you and Dave on the BCHL broadcast once upon a time?
Was it you or Jeff that did the weekly updates that would play on 1040?
We both did them at different times. Yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah. Anything from your inbox, Grady? Did we screw up anything else?
No.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. A reminder, subscribe to this show, Rinkwide Vancouver, and Canucks Conversation, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on social. That's Twitter, Insta, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. We are live 11:30 a.m. Pacific on many of those platforms Monday through Friday. And, of course, support the community sponsors you hear us talking about. Keep it local.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.